13 minutes late. Ahead. Somebody. 13 minutes late.
I texted you, I'd be 13. You was like, "Don't worry about that shit. We got Shay on show, so just relax." Tune dog back up in this bitch.
13 minutes late. Ahead. 13 minutes late. Ahead. 13. Where the fuck was you? I was saying we got
Shay. I was on my motherfucking Peloton.
Yeah, good. Good. You spin?
Riding like a slave and the sweat is on.
Oh, shit.
Heavy like you Napoli.
Is it safe to say that you have bars?
No, I don't have bars. I'm fucking a little. I'm like, what's that? When you get like workout inebriated, when you feel like you're inebriated.
Like
it's called
high? Like,
it's called an endorphin high.
Yeah, I am endorphed.
Good.
New t-shirt. Love that.
Feels good, new right? T-shirt. Feels good. I did it too today.
I can't stop.
By the way, these people even aren't even our sponsors, but I got to tell you, like, I am loving this fucking bike. I'm sweating my ass off. Yeah. I go way harder than I ever do on my own because they're cheering me on. I really love it.
Yeah, man. It's great. I feel wet right now, though, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Do you have a WAP? You probably have WAB, wet ass balls.
Yeah, I got a sob, sweaty ass balls. I got a sob.
You have probably what you have.
That's a sash.
You have watch. Wet ass cheeks.
Wet
I missed you. I missed you. We have so much to talk about. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. When we do this once a week, I accumulate all these things I want to talk to you guys about.
There are so many things we need
There's
to
There's so
out.
Much to talk about. I wanted to talk about Joelle, your birthday present.
Hi.
She got an Oculus 2 from Donald and I. Have you been in the Oculus 2 world yet? How's that going, Joelle?
Oh, I could tell.
Yeah, it's great.
I could tell she'd been in the world. I could tell she smoked a lot of weed and put the freaking jumps up, the mask on, and has just been walking around blasting at stormtroopers and flying starships and shit. I could tell already.
How's the Star Wars game, Joelle?
Okay, so the flight simulator is beautiful, but I suck at flying. I cannot do it on any game. And in this one, at one point, I was like, I think I'm upside down and I'm going to hurl. It's so realistic. You can look down and your hands are like touching the controls inside the plane. It's crazy good. The Darth Vader game is awesome because like Rogue One, it was the first thing that like really made Darth Vader scary to me. Rogue One, Darth Vader hallway scene, horrifying. And this thing, Darth Vader comes out of the shadows and walks right up to your face, and you're like, you're tall and very frightening, and it's amazing. Beat Saber, also great.
Oh, yeah.
Good arm workout if you're about that life on the hard setting. But my favorite so far was the meditation. Yeah.
Really? What's the meditation?
It's a free meditation app that comes with it. You can buy additional like experiences inside. I've only tried the one it comes with, but it is so freaking trippy. It asks you to like breathe with it. And, like, you breathe in, like, white sparkles, and you breathe out, like, gold dust.
Oh, I'm going to love that.
Woo! It was great.
Somebody told me there's an aftermarket app. There's an app you get with it and that you can buy. And you can put on, you're in a big screen movie theater. And
yes!
You can invite your friends in and watch a movie together. That's so fucking dope.
Yep. Yeah.
We got to do that.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. I have a question to ask now.
Go ahead.
So the Oculus, it just comes with the joystick and the goggles. That's it?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And that's
but don't
all
you need
you
headphones?
Need?
You just have your own headphones.
It has a spot where you can attach headphones, but it has directional hearing. So it can just, you can use it without headphones.
So how do you download things? Like where does the
internet.
There's an app.
It's in the goggles.
So you can use it in the goggles if you'd like. I have a limited time. I can keep the goggles on and keep playing. It's about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Probably the longest I should be playing video games anyway. But you can use your phone to purchase your apps. And then once you're inside the goggles, you can like upload it to your thing. So I pay for them on my phone.
Your phone isn't your screen, is it?
No.
That's not
No.
Come on, buddy.
Everything is stored
on the
mask.
For that much money, your phone and your screen. You know?
Okay, calm down.
All right.
First of all, calm down.
By the way, Joelle's unboxing video was made my day. I watched it a few times.
So adorable.
So funny when you're unwrapping it. You're so funny.
Oh my gosh, thank you. It was fun to unwrap. You guys got a lot of compliments on your choice in wrapping paper. I don't want to be sexist, but did one of the partners wrap it?
Or no, was that the one of you that's guys? Me. That's
your
me,
wrapping
babe.
Skills are so fucking good.
I want you to know that wasn't even like my assistant, Joelle. That's how much love I put into this. My mom taught me how to rap when I was a kid.
Look, she killed that. She did real good teaching you.
I really, because it was you and I was putting so much love into it, I didn't phone that shit in, Joelle. Like when I folded down the ends and it was like a little long, I took them scissors back out and trimmed, Joelle.
Oh,
I
shit. Trimmed.
I'm gonna tell you guys something right now. When it comes to detail, when it comes to decoration, when it comes to stylizing a space thing, or something like that, of that matter, Zach Braff works really hard to please the eye. You know what I mean? You walk into a room, if Zach is the owner of the room or renting said space in room, or renting space in said room, let me tell you something right now. It usually has a theme and it is usually fire.
Thank you. I also got to say, I get so much joy out of matching the right gift with the right person. Mm. And I really love that. I mean, and of course, when someone's as appreciative as you were, your video was amazing. It made me laugh so hard. But I just love like, and we had a little help from Daniel because I was brainstorming and Daniel was like, stop brainstorming. This is what it should be. But I was like, oh my God. I don't know. I was just really looking forward to it. I love that. I love sharing with you. Should we let Shay in? I'm feeling bad. We got a fancy guest in the room.
Let's let him in.
You know, if there's another guest, we might say hold him off. But Shay, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show.
There he is. Thunderous applause.
What is really good?
What's Shay, up, everyone?
I'm sorry. Donald was 13 minutes late, so I'm sorry.
You know what I started doing? I started working out today.
Did you? Like, congratulations.
Day one, Shay.
Day one, the Peloton bike. I'm already sore.
Oh, fuck that thing.
Yeah.
That's awful. Yes. I tried it once.
It is a killer.
It's and hard. Those, I'm cutting weight though, Shay. I'm getting skinny.
He's trying to get down to his fight weight.
I'm getting down to fight club weight.
Do you, Donald, do you have the shoes that go with it? The fancy shoes?
Yeah, you got to have the shoes.
You need the shoes.
You got to have the shoes, Shay.
They kind of monopolize the situation though, man. You get the shoes from them and you get the...
You don't have to buy their brand. You could buy a different brand if you're worried about a monopoly.
A word?
A word, yeah. It's just cycling shoes. They're just cycling shoes. You could probably get Nike ones. You could probably get dope Nike ones if you want.
I was under the assumption, and as you always do when you make an ass out of you and me, I thought that those only fit the same pegs that the only peg, you know, the Peloton pegs were the only pegs that they fit on.
That would be fucked up because I imagine there's people who are real cyclists who get on it to train and then just clip out and clip into their real bike. Yeah.
I hope so. I haven't tested that theory out. I hope this is true.
Shay, I'm always excited when you're on for obvious reasons because you're the best guest. But also, even before I've watched the episode, I'm walking around. I was making my smoothie this morning going, oh, cool, we have Shay on. And then I said, oh, I know it's a good episode of the show because I always say to Shay, first off, when we start a new season, which episode do you want to come on for?
Right.
And when he chooses this one, I was like, okay, well, I know it's going to be a good one.
Right.
Yeah. So anytime that you all are nice enough to let me come on the show, one of the things that I definitely try to do, and this is something that Donald picked up on the last time I was here. One of the things that I definitely try to do is pick an episode that will allow the opportunity to talk about the brilliance of the show as it was displayed in that particular episode, but also B, some larger part of the show's legacy. So that's why when I got your message about being on season 3, I said, well, absolutely, because here's the thing. A very common thing happening right now, because we had the giant Last Dance documentary earlier this year, and then the Lakers won the title a week ago, is there's this whole LeBron versus Jordan debate is like stirred up again. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time, right? And that's fun. That's a fun thing to think about and to participate in. But if we move it a level past that, if you change the parameters of the debate just a little bit, it can become, I think, more interesting. Because inevitably, talking about LeBron versus Jordan becomes a thing where you're trying to solve too many problems at once. You're trying to account for the different eras, the different salary caps, the different ways in which basketball importance is measured. It's like trying to solve for X at the same time that you're trying to solve for Y. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if you change it a bit, rather than making it Jordan versus LeBron, you make it Jordan versus Jordan. When was Jordan at his absolute greatest? What season did we get the best ever version of Jordan? That, to me, is a little more interesting. And if we tie that back to Scrubs and to this podcast, that's why I was pumped up to be on here. Scrubs is one of the greatest TV shows of all time. We're all very clear on that. It's smart. It's funny. It's tender. It's well-written, well-acted, well-directed, well-scored. It hits all the spots that you need a TV show to hit for it to get into that conversation. But here's a question that I have spent a fair amount of time thinking about and a fair amount of time arguing about, even more so than where does Scrubs belong on the list of all-time great TV shows. What season was Scrubs at its absolute greatest? What season did we get the best single stretch of episodes, the best storylines, the best character weaving, the most impactful acting, all of it? And season 3 is one of two seasons of Scrubs that has a rightful claim to that throne. It's season 3 and it's season 5. In season 5, we have the Miss Wilkes episode. We have the 2-episode arc where Dr. Cox falls into the depression. We have the Wizard of Oz episode, which was great because of how ingenious it was, but also because that's the episode where Ted has his single most beautiful musical performance. We have the sitcom parody episode. We have Turk finds out that Carla's pregnant before she does episode. There's a bunch of them too. It's a really, really special stretch of the show. Season 3 gave us the Ben episode. It gave us the Michael J. Fox arc, the 2-episode arc there, which is beautiful. It gave us Turk and Carla getting married, which was wonderful. We get the Take Me Serious episode from Elliot, which is great. The Butterfly episode, which is another example of the show's ability to get you leaning in one direction and then fucking shove you in the opposite direction at the end of the show. And then we have this episode here, My Brother, Where Art Thou, where JD's brother shows up again. And I'm fucking super pumped to talk about it because it's just so great. That confrontation in particular, all of the rest of the episode too.
Oh my God. Before we go on any further,
that was Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Thank you guys for listening.
Well, I was going to make a similar comment in that I want the audience to know Che's not reading off of notes. That fucking amazing monologue he just did was off the cuff and impromptu, and I got goosebumps 3 times. And you are just so fucking well spoken. It makes me think like I should quit this podcast and get in the fetal position. But
This is only because I spent all of that time working on the Scrubs book.
No, so I know. But you are also, dude. You are. I know you are not going to, like, you shouldn't waste your talents running for public office, but you're such an amazing public speaker. You just can, like, riff so fast. You're not like, there's no ums, there's no, and, you know, likes. You're just like, like you're reading a fucking teleprompter. Yeah, that was amazing.
And on that note, for all y'all out there, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate.
Welcome to the program, everyone. It's officially started. Sorry that it's, we're running behind because Donald was 13 minutes late because he decided to get in shape for the first time today. Thank you, Donald.
For the first time, pretty much for this, you know, I tried to get in shape in the beginning of quarantine.
Right.
And now it's like we're going into our third trimester, I guess, of quarantine.
We're about to give birth.
It's getting rough.
It's about to be a full-on baby.
It's getting rough. It's getting bad. It's getting bad, yeah. People. We got a big election coming up, Donald. Voting is sexy. I'm wearing my Voting is Sexy t-shirt for you guys.
Yeah, we're not going to get political today on any of that shit.
No, I'm not trying to go down. I'm not trying to go down any wormholes.
I know you're not. I know you're not. But I'm going to say one thing to all of our listeners. The one thing that you have to do, if you are in the United States of America,
go ahead.
One thing you have to do this year, this November 3rd, is vote.
Yep.
It is the most important thing you will do this year. You didn't do shit. You all were locked inside anyway because of the pandemic. This is the time to get out. And I'm not being political. This is not a policy thing.
Don't apologize.
I'm not
preaching. It's too much on the line. 100 million people didn't vote last time. Do you know that? 100 million eligible people didn't vote.
That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Slow tear coming down my face.
And so I don't care who you vote for. I don't care.
I care.
Yeah, you do. Donald likes to be extra apolitical, but I care.
Okay. They care who you vote for. I don't care who you vote for. If you vote for who you vote for and you don't like me, that's fine. Vote for who you vote for and you don't
like me. Shay knows because he follows me on Twitter. I've already gone all in. Like the people who hate me are going to hate me already because I'm all in. I'm like, fuck it. It's like poker. I'm all in. I can't take it anymore.
I hear that. Anyway, so just get
wait. I want to ask. Yeah, definitely. Please vote. Look into what's going on in your state because on the day of, there's likely to be extraordinary long lines. So if you're in Pennsylvania, for example, as I understand it, you can vote in person the whole week before. So don't get caught in some craziness. Obviously, plenty of states have early voting that starts now.
Texas, what up?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that just do us a favor. You can go to iwillvote.com or you can go to the thing that Donald and I supported, which is headcount.org/Zach and Donald.
Beanie Feldstein has a platform that she's doing also, and I don't want to get it wrong. And so we'll bring it up later on in the program when I have my notes in front of me.
Okay. Are you planning to get your notes at all? I just want to know when that's going to start.
No,
you know?
I have
Shay Serrano today.
I have the show notes. I don't have the notes for her voting site.
Can I spend 30? We're not going to get on a political wormhole. So don't worry if I'm going to ask one question, because I have three, Donald aside, I have three very intelligent people here who are very.
Oh, shit.
No, you're smart, but you're not as politically savvy as I know Daniel and Joelle are. And I imagine Shay is just from following him on Twitter. So I'm going to ask one question. We're not going to get on a huge wormhole, Shut up. I'm going to be impartial and just ask a question. Daniel, Joelle, and Shay, if you're interested, can you explain to me the movement of people that are very liberal and very to the left and wanted Bernie or Elizabeth Warren or anybody else and are passionately not getting behind Biden now? Can you just explain to me pretend I know nothing, which I almost do, what the ideology is behind voting third party or someone else when that clearly helps Trump? Go.
There arise the people who believe that neither side is supporting or passing laws or doing the things they actively need to be doing to help the people that they represent, and that it's across all spectrums, Black, Latinx, queer, differently abled, all of it. And they just feel like their vote is sacred and therefore they should cast it for who they believe is, you know, the best person in their mind, damn the rest of the results. And that is their feeling. And they will be hard pressed to find a lot of those people to be moved one direction or the other because they just feel so failed by the system as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds exactly right.
Yeah, I have nothing else to add.
Well, okay. I don't. They can vote for whoever they want to. I just want them to vote. It's still speaking your voice. You know what I mean?
No, I know. Don't at me because I'm asking it as innocently as possible. Even if that doesn't go to the greater good of getting the bad man out, they're like, fuck it. You didn't go for Bernie kind of vibes.
There's definitely a group of people like that. I'll let Daniel take that one because that's.
I mean, all I was going to say is that, like, you know, what has been universally accepted as the greater good has not been the greater good for so many people who have been disenfranchised, who haven't had their voice heard for generations and generations. And despite how many times that we have said in the past, like, you know, really this, you know, you're going to do this when you should be voting for this. Mm. Neither party has ever represented those people. And it's like it's a problem with the two-party system and it's a problem with how we view politics in this country in general. But I do not necessarily blame people for feeling like they are not represented because the fact is a lot of people haven't been and still aren't. So
I'm honestly not blaming anyone. I just didn't fully understand the ideology behind what you're saying is like, yeah, they hear that every fucking 4 years and they're tired of it.
Exactly.
And I get that. I just, as someone who's so passionate about this, and I know so is a good percentage of the population.
Totally.
Maybe I'm the guy who's the idiot being like, oh, come on guys, just one more time. And they're like, fuck off. I get it. I respect it. I just didn't fully understand it. So thank you for articulating it. Let's get off this now. Thank you. Should we talk about the television show Scrubs, guys?
Let's do that.
Now, Shay, as you know, we have a 47-second summary from Donald Faison these days. I hope when Shay's on, Donald, you put a little extra effort into it because the man writes very articulately about the show.
You know, this is starting to turn into a fuck with Donald situation.
Am I ruining your endorphin high from the spin bike?
You know, I was feeling good when we got on the motherfucking podcast today. And now I'm starting to feel like, like my best friend is being a bit of a dickhead.
I love you. I apologize. And I would take your ball sweat and just squeeze it all over my head.
No, not again.
Too much? Too much, Joel? All right. I'm sorry. Trying to win him back.
Well, say no more. You've done your job.
You had me. It's like you had me at hello. You had me at my ball sweat. All right. You ready? And are you ready? And yeah. Go.
JD's brother Dan is back. And he can't believe the way JD is evolving as a doctor. The rest of the cast is trying to make ends meet, moonlighting behind the hospital's back. Now, we all do what we can to get over the proverbial hump. And it's easy to get lost chasing our destiny. It doesn't take much to get back on track if someone is looking out for you. You're lucky if you have that.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Donald Faison. That was shorter than usual and well said. Family, right? I mean, family is a central tenet of this. How do you navigate these relationships of people you love who drive you fucking nuts, right?
Yeah, but it's more than that, though. This episode, man, it's your brother fights for your soul at the end of this episode.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He fights for your soul. Mm. And he goes...
And JD never knows, by the way. I love that JD never knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Cox knows. And in the beginning, you know, actually I'm getting chills thinking about this shit. Cox doesn't give a fuck. The job's getting done. He doesn't care what this kid's turning into. Life is moving on in the hospital, and it takes somebody to show up out of nowhere, somebody who cares for this one person, who Cox cares for too, to show up and be like, dude, all right, I get it. This is a hospital, and people die, and you got to go through all of these tragic moments, and the only way to cope is this way. But yo, this is my brother, man, and I love this man. I love him so much. Please don't let him fall into the same category that you're falling into. Don't let him fall down the same path that you've gone down. You know what I mean? Don't let him turn to the dark side because there's so much light in him. You know what I mean? And he sees that I could be something better than I am. And I, even when I don't see it in myself, my brother has this positive energy about him. Please don't take that away from him. And he's begging. At the end of the show, he's begging. Even though he might get his ass kicked, he even throws a threat at the end of it. Like, I will fuck you up if you ruin my brother. He pretty much tells him that.
Yeah.
Cox gets it and walks away. You know, spoiler alert, he gets it and walks away and gives JD the pep talk at the end. But
no, dude. But Dan makes a big difference. He says, look, I'm not anything. I'm not going to be a doctor who saves lives. I still live with my mom. I don't have anything going on. But this kid, he wanted to become a doctor more than anything. And I'm watching you and you're slowly making him cynical and pessimistic and making jokes about death. And how dare you? Like, you need to, you're the one. He'll do anything you say. You need to keep that light in, a light inside of him. And and then the fact that JD never knows, and then Cox gives him a pep talk at the end, I thought was really moving. What do you think,
Shay? One more thing, Shay, before you go. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think this was the funniest episode of the season. I didn't think this is the funniest episode we've seen so far.
No.
But as far as a point being made,
yes,
this was it, dude.
Yeah. Shay,
and when I found out Shay was going to be on the show, I was like, of course he's going to be on this show. You know what I mean?
This is the one. This is the one that I greatly enjoy to watch. To your point, Zach, the thing about him, about JD never finding out about the speech, I think that opens up like a really interesting conversation to get into. Because earlier in the episode, JD sort of chastises Dan about having never been there for him. You never showed up when I needed you to. And then we see this other thing happen. And so the viewer is left to wonder one of two things. Number one, was Dan secretly always in the background standing up for JD, helping him get to where he needed to go or wanted to go? Or was this really the first time and JD is like spurred on this great big change in his brother? Every time his brother showed up, JD would say something or do something that would inch him in the direction he needed to be heading. It's one of, I think, like is one of three or four things that happens in this particular confrontation between Dan and Dr. Cox that is so interesting to think about, because the guy, was it Tom Cavanaugh?
Yeah, Tom Cavanaugh.
Is just outstanding here. Yeah. Like he steps into this role and just nails it. And it speaks to a larger thing that Scrubs is really good at. One of the things that always comes up when people talk about the show is how it was probably the best ever at navigating those turns when an episode would go from something being totally and completely silly to being something totally and completely serious. Like, and that's what we see here. Here he is giving this really touching, really heartfelt monologue. And just a few minutes earlier, there was a scene where him and Turk and JD are a traveling fart show.
Bad.
And like that happens in the span of a few minutes. And and it somehow doesn't detract away from the emotion of the situation.
That's amazing.
That he's able to summon during that confrontation. If anything, it enhances it. So
it's amazing. It's almost like this might be a stupid analogy, but like swimming with weights on, in that you go so extreme one direction that you're able to swing the other direction.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
you're
doing the stupidest fart joke probably in 9 years. We're literally on tour as a fart band. I mean, like, I'm embarrassed that we did that. but then you go so far the silly direction that you can almost spring back and be stronger in the emotional direction, maybe.
Yeah. And what's fun to do is if you're rewatching the show with like that in mind, you figure out that every single time a big moment like that happened, it was preceded by something really, really outrageous and goofy. Later on, you guys will do the Ben episode. And when you rewatch that, the scene immediately before that is just outrageous in comparison to those two. So there's that part of it. Yeah. There's John C. McGinley, who fucking, what a master this guy is.
Yeah,
once Dan gets going into his monologue, the meat of it, the important part, Dr. Cox doesn't have a single word to say in it, not one. He just stands there and absorbs everything. And in probably anybody else's hands, in a less skilled actor's hands, it's just empty space right there. But with John C. McGinley, he fills it up. It's fat with emotion and a realization. He has a really quick part in there where he takes a big breath as Dan is talking. Dan is giving it to Dr. Cox. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Cox is just like he just, that's the breath of somebody who knows that they're being read like a fucking book right now.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't say anything back. He never argues with Dan about JD being special, which is like his way of being like, you're right, he is, that's my bad. It's great. I really like that. And then the last one, and I don't know if I'm just like reading too far into it at this situation, but the way that they shoot that scene, they're outside on the walkway outside of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And because of the way that the scene is staged, Dan is closer to the door, Dr. Cox is closer to the ramp's exit. And Dr. Cox, who is otherwise a full inch taller than Dan, because of the way that they are in the scene, has to look up at him. And it's one of the few times in the show that we see Dr. Cox in that position. Usually he lords over everybody, over every situation. Not here, though. He has his chin up. He's exposed.
Oh my God.
It's like the same thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, with Brendan Fraser's character with Ben. Like, he's so much taller than him. He's always sort of chin out, ready to get hit in it. Subconsciously, you're watching this scene, and you don't really register that it's happening, but you can, like, something weird here is happening. You can feel it. Dr. Cox is open to this criticism that Dan, a person who he does not like 1%, is offering him, and you're like, oh, I don't know if they did it on purpose, but it's really cool.
I wouldn't be surprised. It was Mark Buckland, who was one of our best directors on the whole run of the show, and episodes are always extra special when Mark Buckland was the director. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was a choice, because it's little subtle things like that make a huge difference.
There's a moment in there that I feel like we're missing also. I feel like Dr. Cox is also proud of Dan. Like, oh shit!
Yeah,
I didn't see this. I didn't see this coming.
He shakes his hand.
Yeah. Right, he's like, holy shit! Okay, and then he says, "All the best at
all
the end."
All the best, Dan.
All the best to you, buddy. Good for you for doing that. Right on. You know what I mean? And it's not condescending. I'm making it sound condescending right now. But it really is one of those moments where he's like, "Holy shit! This dude." It's a testament to the power of love also. This dude is willing to step to me right here on my turf right now and fight for his brother. Okay.
Yeah. I have the speech. You want me to read it real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Please do.
Sure, do it. Yeah.
I won't try and perform it like Tom Cavanaugh because he crushed it.
He crushed it.
But just because we're talking about it so much and it happens to be on the web, I thought I'd just quickly read it for everybody who hasn't just watched the episode. And here it is. He says, "Hey, listen, Dr. Cox, no offense. I'm a big fan of the tough guy act. But let me tell you what I really think. I think you love the fact these kids idolize you. Johnny does. Johnny was always the one in the family we knew was going someplace. Sweet kid. Smart kid. Becoming a doctor, that's all he ever wanted. And yet somehow, you found a way to beat that out of him, haven't you? Turned him into some kind of cynical guy who seems to despise what he does. Dr. Cox, Johnny's never going to look up to me. Ever. But he hangs on every word you say. So I'm asking. No, I'm telling you. Take that responsibility seriously. Stop being such a hard ass. Otherwise, you're going to have to answer to me."
Hey, you did a really good job right there, Zach.
Not bad, not bad.
That was great. Not bad. I started not trying to act, and then I got all into it. I'm sorry. But Tom did it better. But anyway, the point is, it's great writing, and awesomely performed. And Shay, you're right. Johnny C is, you know, if you're an actor who thinks that they don't have a lot of lines, is the ultimate example of in a scene. Watch how good Johnny C is with almost no words, and how he listens. Acting is so much about listening, and just watch how he genuinely listens.
And this is an episode where he has to talk throughout most of the episode, and his strongest moment in the episode is when he says nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good actor right there. You know, I played golf with Johnny yesterday.
Oh, how'd that go? Burying the lead. That's what they call that.
It went fabulous. We had a wonderful time, man.
Who won?
I'll let Johnny talk about it when he comes on the show.
Okay.
First of all, I knew that he liked to play golf. I didn't know he loved golf. Hmm. And it was a lot of fun to watch. You know, we've all known each other for so long. There's very little that we don't know about each other. And this was one of those things. Like, I've never had to compete with Johnny. You know what I mean?
Right. I would be terrified of that. Because as I love him to death and he's a sweetheart, but there is a little bit of JD and Cox in us, and I wouldn't want to compete against Johnny. I feel like he would get all too into it for me.
He plays tennis too. We need to sincerely, like, look, we've spent enough time like just it being you and me. We need to pull Johnny into the fold, dude.
What you're saying is we should pull, maybe bring him into our pod, because you and I are pod buddies.
Yeah, it would behoove us to do that, because then we could go to his house, we could go and hang out on the land.
Yeah, Johnny has a baseball field. Johnny has Field of Dreams, Shay. He has he lives in Malibu and bought a piece of property next to him that's big enough that he built a baseball field a la Field of Dreams.
That's incredible.
He heard, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, he built it.
That's syndication money.
Yeah, that's Scrub syndication money. He put that all into a baseball field.
I don't know about that.
Donald put it into 47 kids.
Yeah, I don't know. I was about to say I put that into
Donald. If you only had two kids, you could probably have a baseball field.
Right. I put it all into my sperm and shot away.
Those are expensive sperm you shot, bro. All right. So how did it go?
It was a lot of fun. We had so much fun. And we played at Sherwood Lake, which is a cute little par 3 18 hole, but it's made by Jack Nicklaus, and so it's a very well designed course. And you know, he invited me out there, and we played. And
is that a club thing, or can anybody go there?
It's a club thing, but we're gonna try and make it a Thursday thing for Johnny. And
I would love that for you, man. Because listen, I know how much you love golf, and I know that it would be great for you as your friend, as your best friend. I would love for you to have like a regular day you played, especially with someone as cool as Johnny. I know that you.
Well, I would want to play with Johnny because he's like my fucking brother, dude. I've known him pretty much half of my life. You know what I mean? When you look at it now.
And you guys, you don't have to tell me who won, although I'm assuming it's you. Did you feel evenly matched in terms of like you weren't waiting on each other? You can play together.
No, I'm not going to say I won. I would say Johnny beat me, if anything. But it was my first time playing the course, and I'd never, you know what I mean? Oh. There were
Interesting. Maybe if you had a golf simulator, you could have won.
I'm interested in the uncertainty here because they keep score. You just look at the number at the end and you know who won.
Why are you being so cryptic? Who the fuck won?
Well, there's different – when you play among – there's no money involved. There are different rules. You know what I mean?
You get McGillas. What are they called? McGillas?
Mulligans.
McGillas. You got it. It's McGillas.
You get McGilla Gorillas? You get McGillas.
McGillas. What's a MacGuffin? MacGuffin?
What is that monkey in the window? That's a McGilla Gorilla, right? That's
McGilla Gorilla.
A MacGuffin, isn't that a mission that you go on?
A MacGuffin is like in a movie, like the random bit of bullshit you have to make up just to make the plot work. You're like, you're like, I don't know. And then there'll be some MacGuffin, like, I don't know. Because of this,
like a dagger showing up out of nowhere to show you where the crashed Death Star has the wayfinder that leads to Exegol, even though it blew up.
Exactly like that.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know, but it's like you come up with some weird plot device to make the plot work. So you're like, that's a MacGuffin.
Like the Emperor coming back to life, even though he was dead. And
okay, let's try and stay away from that area. You have Shay here. You can talk about your basketball, the Lakers winning.
The Lakers did it. Yeah. Okay, I was going to say this, Shay. You were saying you don't want to compare LeBron and Jordan and all of that stuff. But I'll say this. LeBron went 2 more rings. He's been to the finals more than Jordan, and he's got those 6 rings too.
That becomes a really I don't know how you argue against that anymore.
You can't deny it if he wins 2 more, dude.
I don't know I don't know. I think
if he stayed in the game longer, it doesn't mean he's better. Jordan left. He could have done 2 or 3 more, but he was done with the game. He was like, Jordan,
we saw him in Washington, and he was done.
He was done.
Several years out of the game, though. He wasn't, you know.
From my perspective, Jordan's sneakers are way nicer.
Otis Birdsong didn't play.
I agree with that.
I'm not bringing up Otis Birdsong or Mike Jaminski, bro.
Okay.
All right.
I will say this. With the stats and then having won 6 rings, there's no way that you will be able to deny LeBron being the GOAT.
Jordan forever. I can't hear anything you're
people
saying.
Will still deny it. See, Joel was still deny it. But yeah, I think he just is leading in too many things now to be like,
to be like, well, I don't know. Right. You can't
disregard all of the numbers anymore.
Does LeBron, excuse me for not knowing, does he do that fucking epic hang time with the tongue out shit?
He does not.
No, that's
I like that. I used to have a poster of that on my wall.
That's Michael Jordan.
Next to my Phantom of the Opera beach towel that was hung like a tapestry. You'll be happy to know I did have Michael Jordan like this, dunking with his tongue out. Because I thought that was cool. And I wanted to fit in with the other kids. All right, let's talk about the show Scrubs, guys. Gomer is a real term. It stands for get out of my emergency room. And apparently it was something that the doctors used to call old people because they were like, oh, get this Gomer out of here. Because... they were just taking up a bed.
That's kind of like calling an ATM an ATM machine. So you're saying, get this Gomer out of here. But you're saying Gomer, which stands for get out of my
emergency
room. So get this guy out of my emergency room out of here.
Okay, well, then pick a different sentence. I got a Gomer, in bed 3, Johnny.
Got it. Okay, well, I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying because it pisses me the fuck off when somebody's like, I got to make it to the ATM machine. And you're like, you just said machine, motherfucker.
Okay. All right. Let's all
I got to make
breath.
It to the ATM machine.
There's way more takes right now. Way more like letter takes than I was anticipating when I got on here.
I laughed when Johnny's Pickles. About to offer a hug, and I go in for the hug. My arms kind of go up, and I'm like, I'm going to get a hug. That made me laugh.
I laughed at Pickles.
Pickles.
Mr. Bober and his Pickles.
That senior citizen actor was in another episode. I forgot where, but this was his second time being a patient on the show.
And when we did Undateable, was the character Mr. Bober that was touching all of the old people, was that, or was it Mrs. Bober that was doing it? I don't recall.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
So, yeah, this guy, he was Frank Bober here.
Yeah.
Was a character.
But I just saw on Scrubs Wiki that he had appeared. We should mention this was written by Mike Schwartz, who's incredible, one of our favorite Scrubs writers. Hilarious guy and good human being.
How many dog piles have you been under in life?
I, But I haven't been in a dog pile probably since like college, like drunkenly.
Right. I remember being in dog piles and you like being under like 20, feeling like you're under 20 people.
And you're going to die.
And you're going to die.
Yeah. That's what I remember. And then you get all claustrophobic. Yeah. You get all claustrophobic and you're like.
And I've never been in a dog pile. Do gentlemen always lead with their elbows? Is that a thing? Is the intent to hurt, or is this a secret way guys get to cuddle?
It's the latter.
It's the latter. Are you kidding me?
No, we just cuddle.
It is definitely, let me tell you something, Joelle, that you need
it
to know.
It is intended to hurt too, though.
That Donald doesn't want to talk about. There is a lot of male on male wrestling to make up for like sexual tension. And I don't mean to imply that the guys necessarily want to fuck. I just mean that they have the testosterone and they just want to it is like fucking male cuddling. It's like wrestling. And I remember being in high school being like the dude was like pinning me. And like we're like, I don't know, it felt in hindsight a little like sexual.
Okay.
I see it.
I don't mean to say that we were gonna dock. I just mean that like there was testosterone-y tension.
Here's a great question. Have you wrestled as a grown man, though, is the question.
A man?
Have you wrestled as a grown man?
Yeah.
Not have you wrestled as a kid?
I wrestle my girlfriend sometimes, but I don't wrestle another man as a grown man.
Dude, I once got...
You're laughing, you're like, dude, we gotta do this.
I once got drunk with Jacob Vargas and Sullivan Stapleton.
Jacob Vargas, that's my guy.
Yeah, I love Jacob Vargas. And Sullivan Stapleton, who was on Blind Spot, we were doing a pilot together, and we were living in New Mexico.
Oh God!
And we were drunk out of our mind in either Jacob's room or Sully's room or my room. I don't remember where it was, but we started wrestling. And let me tell you something right now. There ain't nothing like being drunk and grown and wrestling with another motherfucker.
Listen.
Like, I will fuck you with, you know what I mean?
And you're strong, man. Donald, could they keep up with you? Because you're really fucking strong.
Yeah, fucking Sully is way bigger than I am, dude. And he's way stronger than I am. So he's throwing me around like a rag doll. And I'm trying to be like, I'm trying to grab him and be like, I will fuck you, you know, you try to get all posturous. I will fuck you up, you motherfucker. And you start wrestling, you know, and you're trying to get into it.
It always gets more serious than it's.
Yeah, especially drunk. By the way, you just take the up off, I will fuck you, and you're proving my point. I will fuck you.
There's a thing inside of all Mexicans. Jacob Vargas is Mexican American. So if you told me I got drunk with Jacob Vargas, in my head, I'm like, oh, that means you probably wrestled with Jacob Vargas. That's just how that goes.
Why, it's Mexicans like to wrestle?
Dude, we fucking love it. We fucking love it.
There's something
I wouldn't fuck
about-
with Donald. Donald, you scare me.
There's been times
over the years where we get a little bit serious and like I'm trying my best, but you just fucking crush me.
Listen, I'm telling you something right now. I didn't think I would like it as a grown man to be rolling around like that, but that shit is fun, dude.
How was the orgasm?
I came so hard. It was one of these. Ah!
So we kind of skid by this, but Carla has phone sex with Turk's 11-year-old nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She says he was so worldly.
Right.
And then later on, they call it back and.
My nephew was asking what you're wearing.
Yeah.
How sweet is that? When she says worldly, was she like, oh, and I'm going to do this? And he's like, oh, yeah, well, tell me what you're going to do with that when you get it. Was he doing something like that?
No. Dude, Elliot's attempt at phone sex in the woods is hilarious.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Didn't we talk about Elliot's obsession with nipples? Did we talk about that? Like she licked somebody's nipples.
She licked nipples in another sex scene. You know, there's not a lot you can do in a broadcast TV sex scene. So I think that like you're running out of ideas quickly. So it's like, nipples. Are we allowed to lick nipples? All right, we'll lick nipples. Male nipples. You can lick male nipples.
Elliot says something about licking Sean's nipples.
Yeah, and he almost
gets there. He says, "I'm close," and she says, "I don't care if you're close."
No, she says. She's trying to do some phone sex in the woods, for those of you who haven't watched it and are just needing to be reminded. She goes, "Nipples, Sean," because they're having bad connection. "I'm trying to lick your nipples." And then a troop of Boy Scouts stumbles upon her in the woods. And she says, I don't care that you're close. I'll call you later. Meaning meaning that that almost drove him to completion.
Oh, my God.
The thought of being told, I'm licking your nipples.
Your nipples, Sean.
Scott Foley was like, hello. the first time we've ever done a short title sequence like this, I believe.
I'm no Superman.
Yeah. You know, we were locked into the time. So if, eventually, if Bill couldn't get it to a place where he's like, I can't. If I, you know, if he needed a few more seconds, he's like, this is going to hurt the show. If I, Bill was a master and is a master of cutting things down. We would get things, both with my films, I've showed him, like, what the hell am I going to cut to get this time down? He's so good at that. But sometimes he'd be, I guess, I'm assuming this is the first time he was like, you know what? I'm going to take the credit sequence out because I need that. I need that for the show. So this is the first one I remember that's like, I'm no Superman.
Do you remember any of the things that Bill cut that you were like so hell-bent on having on the show and then it was gone and you were like, fuck, I really wish that would have
been. You know, I wasn't really aware because when I was just an actor, I wasn't really micromanaging it like that. When I had directed one, I would be so invested and they would always be long. They'd be like 35 minutes and they need to be 22. So you're always like, I don't know how here, Dad, I don't know how what you're going to do, but fix it. Right. And then of course, when he delivered his 22-minute cut, there'd be a lot of like pain because you'd be like, oh no, how did you get rid of that moment? Oh no, why did you? But you know, you had to do it. It's there's no choice. You have to fucking cut it down. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we are going to have a fan call. Is that right, Joelle?
Yes, please.
We'll be right back after these fine words.
And we're back.
And we're back.
We have Jay Serrano, Zach
Jay Serrano,
Brad,
and our guest and is Goodman. About to come on.
I'm Donald Faison, and we just connected to Kate Zelensky.
Hi, Kate.
Uh-oh, oh boy, here we go.
Oh,
Kate.
She's pulling a Sarah Chalk. You're muted now, Kate.
Unmuted, Kate.
This is
unmuted.
Very Sarah Chalk-esque.
And
now
unmuted,
you're one
Kate.
Step away from dropping your iPad in the tub.
No.
Oh, no.
Kate, hit the microphone in the bottom left. The microphone in the bottom left.
Kate, you see that red
sign? Might change your change
Did I do it?
Yes.
Yay. Joelle, I warned you in my email that I'm kind of like a real life Elliot, and I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen.
Kate, right. I'm gonna say something, Kate. It looked like you gave up even before we said her
mic was
out.
Yeah, she was like,
out.
Fuck it. She was
like, I'm done. I'm not even gonna do fake doctors anymore. I don't even want to do fake doctors anymore.
I didn't
want to be on this fucking show anyway.
It's very hard to get on this show. I don't think you give up if your mic's on mute just for a second. I think you really, right, Joelle? You
should focus. Yeah, no, she got it though.
You sift through a lot of people that want to be on this program.
I am so prepared. I mean, I have like a hairband, a mask, a martini, a water bottle,
This isn't let's make a deal. You're not going to need those things.
No, I mean, I'm currently hiding from my family like you, Donald. And like, I have been sitting here like, you're not going to fuck this up, Glenn. And then I fucked it up.
Listen, in all seriousness, Kate, there's no wrong answer. All right. If you say anything horrible, it'll be amazing. People love it.
I think. Okay, so you like to go by Zelensky?
Oh well, my. I sometimes when I'm mad at myself, I call myself by my maiden name, which is Riley.
Okay.
So that's why I stuttered because I usually when I'm like fuck Riley, fuck you know that's okay. Like so
wow,
I was trying
you
to
are
say
very
Zelensky.
Elliot-esque. You're very improving to be very Elliot-esque. That was a lot like Elliot going fuck.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah, it's real. It's not a great way to go through life, guys.
Well, welcome to the program. It's called Fake Doctors, Real Friends. We have the legendary writer and personality. What are you besides a writer, Shay? You're
just
a philanthropist.
A That's all.
No, you're a writer. You're a philanthropist. You're a Twitter superstar.
Getting Shay, worse and worse.
Shay Serrano. Yeah. writer, philanthropist first, then Twitter superstar.
Has a OnlyFans if you're interested. Like,
oh, Shay. I'd go on Shay's OnlyFans. All right. Donald, have you ever been on an OnlyFans? I don't think we're allowed on OnlyFans.
No, I'm not allowed on an OnlyFans.
I don't think our women would support us.
Well, you're paying money. I really do wonder what OnlyFans is like, because it can't just be somebody on OnlyFans, just sitting there naked like, this is what I do.
Well, isn't it just like, I don't know, Joelle, do you know what it is? Isn't it just like a strip club, but someone's house?
Why you gotta go to Joelle? Cause
you can come to me. I've lived with a lot of sex workers over the year, cam boys and girls and such.
Yeah. Wow. Let's talk about that. No, sorry,
wait, listen. Wait, sorry, Kate, you can mute your mic again. Now, Joelle, you live with sex workers.
there's a whole era of Joelle y'all know nothing about.
Wow, that sounds like a good podcast.
One day I'll talk about my college days. But the kids, you know, they enjoy it. They love the OnlyFans. And it's just amateur porn essentially, but the cool thing about OnlyFans, you're paying the sex worker directly as opposed to a large company or getting it for free.
The cam things, they take a giant cut, whereas this goes directly to the person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they can control how much it charges and all of that stuff. So there's some issues with the app that I'm not, you know, knowledgeable enough to talk about it. But
do you think that Donald and
like
I,
Bella Thorne make like 24 million or
very
something
controversially
like that.
Yeah, not that's, 24 that's, million not 24 million how much did she make
a
something,
lot
like 20
know.
Something like 20 something million is what
oh, I because I thought then it was she's 2 million
then
but,
she said
but,
she wasn't gonna no. do anything nude and everyone was like, well then what do we all pay for? And then she was like, yeah, right,
pretty much the story. Hi Kate,
sorry Kate.
At this juncture I feel sorry. Like we should tell them why I picked you.
Sorry Kate, yeah. Go ahead, we digress.
Joelle, I don't know if you picked me because of my signs or because of my situation or...
We can do situations and then sign because I really
got
wanted
it.
To have, yeah.
Okay, well, Zach, I am so touched at how protective you are of we nursing mothers who are fans of the show.
Yes.
Because, you know, people will tell you, even in like La
Let
Leche
her speak,
League,
Donald.
Which
Let
like,
her speak.
You know, way to go, La Leche League and everything, but... They'll tell you, you know, breastfeeding is the most natural thing in the world. And it's like, nope, it's hard. It's really hard for a lot of us. Not everyone can do it. And we just have to feed our babies. And the latch thing is real. The open wound nipples thing is real. And it's, you're sobbing at 5 a.m. trying to give your child nourishment. And so I don't listen to your podcast while nursing because of Donald's loud voice. But I just wanted to ask Joelle. I mean, I listen every week. I'm an enormous fan of the podcast,
Kate,
and the show.
Kate, you're done.
But
you're done.
No.
Oh, why, God. Donald? But no, because I want the Oprah voice, Donald. I do.
She wants to have her cake and eat it too, Donald.
She'll never get it again.
She wants the Oprah voice. She just doesn't want it while she's dealing with a tricky latch.
Here's what here's what you don't know, Kate. Zach was being facetious when he talked about the latch and everything like that. He doesn't care about your nipples. He doesn't care about your
shaking. I care about Kate's areolas. And let me tell you something. I had so many people tell me that they listen while breastfeeding, and I thought it was very charming. And of course, if I was breastfeeding, I would get lost in a good podcast too. It's perfect.
You're stuck at home. You can't, and it's also COVID. So it's not like I get an escape by like being like, I'm going to go to a movie, you know, and sleep in a movie theater. There's nothing to do. I'm stuck at home. I'm on the couch. I'm nursing. I'm pumping. I'm holding my mama's boy, baby boy. And so there's not a lot to do, but I listen to the podcast in my car because I still do my family's grocery shopping. And I listen in my car and I sit in the grocery store parking lot with a drive-through coffee for like 10 or 15 extra minutes. And then I get home and I'm like, the lines were so long. Whoa, I just wanted to get out of there because I'm just hiding from my family. So you guys are my escape.
Yes.
And that's what I told
that.
Joelle. Yeah.
Thank you.
Kate, you have a decision to make then, because I will make a promise to you right now that I won't yell anymore so you can listen while you're breastfeeding.
No, don't do that, Kate.
While you got
Donald,
your latch.
I would never, I cannot take
I will
away
give
the,
you that or no. I will give you the parking lot. Which one do you want?
She wants the parking lot. It's her me time.
You know why? Because if I took away the Oprah introductions from all future guests, I would hate myself.
Yes. A lot of people only listen to the show to hear Donald's Oprah voice.
Kate Zielinski, fuck them. It's all about you, Kate. I'm doing this for you and only you.
Are you kidding? This is the first thing that's been about only me since my toddler's school shut down and my job ended in March. Like, this is the thing that is, Kate, this is the only thing that's been only me.
Kate, you sound like my wife. Hold on. I'm going to go get her.
No, don't go get her.
I love your wife.
Why are you getting her? Oh, Jesus. Because I know why. Because she's fixing to rant about Donald not helping enough. And I'll bet he thinks this is going to be some couples counseling if he lets her rant on the show. These people didn't tune in for fucking Donald's couples counseling. They tuned in for a Scrubs podcast. Kate, where do you live?
I live in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
I'm currently, the reason I have like this time to do it, we're currently visiting my parents at their lake house in North Carolina. So I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, that's got to be beautiful, a lake house.
It's wonderful. It's an insane, beautiful, welcoming house on a beautiful lake. It's so nice to get away.
So, Kate, we're going to jump ahead to Fix Your Life real quick. Why? Here's my wife. Okay.
This is Casey Cobb. This is Kate Zielinski.
Hi, Casey.
Hey, Kate. Hi, guys.
Casey, your hair looks beautiful today.
Thanks. I got it colored.
Yeah, very nice. Kate was just sharing how hard it is to be a mom and to have every single one of your minutes of your day go to taking care of your children and your family. And Donald said, let me go get my wife. So maybe you can speak to how you're coping and how you're making that work, because I know for a fact Donald isn't necessarily pulling his weight.
Yeah, exactly. well, I have to be honest, Kate, today I left and I went and got my hair done.
Good for you, because girl. Good for you.
You know what? I had grays all the way down to my ears, and you know what? I knew that this was the only thing I could do for myself. Granted, I came home and there was shit everywhere. And the kids ate donuts on their lunch break. And, you know, complete shit show, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But
my husband told me yesterday I have white trash roots because my hair hasn't been colored since February. White trash roots. And I said, honey, that's so lovely of you to tell your nursing wife, mother of two, full-time everything.
Oh, my God. And you're nursing?
Oh, my God. Casey, you told me once that you were like, because Kate just told a story about how sometimes she listens to the podcast and stays extra long in the supermarket parking lot. And you told me a story once where you were like, I wanted to go to Chick-fil-A, but I chose a Chick-fil-A like 45 minutes away because I needed a break.
No, it was literally the day that they announced that schools were closing, and they closed, you know, in the spring of last year, but then when we weren't going back in the fall, and they told us, and I literally just said, I'm going to go pick up Chick-fil-A for everyone. I got in the car and I drove 45 minutes to a Chick-fil-A and cried my eyes out the entire way there. It's so hard because you know what? And I'm sure your husband thinks he's helping, but he's not.
No. Tell about the breastfeeding story.
We all know he's not. I mean,
no. In fact, we are going on our first date since October 31st, 2019 tonight. We're at my parents' lake house. They're going to watch the kids, and we're celebrating our anniversary, which was last week. Oh. It's our first date out. So I put on makeup for the first time in God knows how long. And my husband looked at me and he was like, are you in a play tonight? And I was like, no, you just haven't seen me in makeup in a million years.
I don't like this
years.
Husband so
no,
far.
No, but you know, Zach, you have to like this husband because my husband is an ER physician who actually
Now I like him, but I wish he wasn't A, making fun of your makeup, and B, making fun of your roots. Those two things I don't like.
Yeah.
And C, I bet he still made you have sex when you came home.
Wow. But Kate might not want to reveal that. Casey, okay, this is a guest in our podcast. I apologize, Kate. I'm sorry.
Sometimes it's literally just let me have 3 hours on the couch after the kids go to bed to not talk to me. Not do anything. Just let me watch my crappy TV and you load the dishwasher and don't even talk to me till the next morning.
I'm dreaming
and
heaven.
That's sexual. And then Casey and I text about the true crime shows we're watching. Yeah. Donald doesn't watch them. So Casey and I are like the two women and like drinking our white wine being like, did you see this one?
It's hard. I mean, it is. It's true. It's so hard. And I wish I knew how to fix it, but.
No, you can't imagine how happy my husband is for me in this moment. He has my daughter fishing on the dock. My mom has my 10-week-old son. Like he was like, get your shower, like get your ready. Like he had me go shopping for a dress for our date tonight. He like sent me to an outdoor mall with my mask. Like he is actually Zach. Like he is the most supportive, incredible guy.
I'm liking him a little more. You had me at ER doc. Okay.
He is an ER doctor with a second specialty in hospice and palliative care. And that takes
special person. I know. I've been through it. I know. I've been through it with my dad and my sister. So I know who they are. And I, And actually, yeah. So, yeah, okay. I like him again. Just tell him not to make fun of your fucking roots or I'll punch him.
No, you know what? It's just kind of like, Casey, you understand. Like, Donald yeah. says all the time, like, you know, it's kind of fun to shit talk your husband. You love him more than life itself. But it's just so fun to every once in a while be like, I hate him.
I do it more than I probably should. But
right. tell him about the time you were thirsty. And
okay, I will. But let me tell you one thing, though. A lot of the times, even though we blame the husbands, a lot of it is the kids. Because you know what? We do everything without even thinking that there have been times that Donald is standing right next to me. And they're like, Mom, I need this. And the other kid is, Mom, but you didn't do this. And Donald's just sitting there zoned out watching TV. I just recently started saying, guys, you have another parent right yeah. here. Yeah. You know, you have to redirect because you end up doing it all yourself because you do it faster, better, and it gets done. You know,
my daughter at like 9 a.m, because she knows how to play me now during COVID, will come into my bathroom and open the shower curtain for like my once a week shower I get and be like, can I have chocolate milk? And I'm like, what's your dad doing? And she's like, watching the news.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm like, it's 9 a.m. No, you can't. She's like, why? And I was like, fine. Like, yes. And it's just like, fine. Yeah. I don't care. Exactly. I give up.
I bet during COVID, a lot of you moms are probably have to. And Shay, I know you feel free to weigh in. Shay's got kids. I know a lot of you parents must be like a lot. Do you go quicker to... Fuck it. Yes. Have chocolate milk at 9.
100%.
That's yeah. why they had donuts for lunch today, yeah. dude. That's
why they had donuts. I feel no shame about it. Zizi, my daughter Zizi, usually after her nap watches 1 22-minute like Winnie the Pooh episode. And every day she's like, can I have 2? And I'm like, you know what? Like, you've already watched your show. She's like, why? And I'm like, fine. Fine. Have 3. Have yeah. 3. Have 4. Your dad's in the ER till midnight tonight. Have 4. I'm nursing.
It's true. You have to find something that you like to do or something for you that nobody else likes to do. And then you get to do it alone and you're on your own.
So now here's the problem now. I've been saying that forever, babe. You just gotta find a hobby. You gotta find something that you like to do by yourself. You gotta find what it is that you want to do. When I say that shit, I'm an asshole and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But now she just spit that game to all
of her hobby. What if her hobby is you fucking do the shit for a fucking couple hours while I go upstairs and watch fucking true crime?
That's my hobby. I'm too tired to do anything else.
I regret bringing my wife up to this conversation now.
It's your fault, asshole. You're the one who ran in and got her.
My Amazing. Hobby happens to be kind of beneficial to the whole family. I love to cook. Love to cook. Everything's about cooking. In fact, when I am nursing Zach, because I can't listen to this podcast while I'm nursing because Donald's so loud, I watch...
I say that too. I tell him.
I watch episodes of the Barefoot Contessa because she's yes! so soothing. Joelle, do you love her? I love her. Goals.
I don't watch her. Goals. But have you guys seen, sorry, this is a total non sequitur, but have you guys seen My Octopus Teacher?
No.
No, I've never even
Oh my God.
That.
You guys, Shay, I know you love good fucking shit. Write this down.
Good.
My Octopus
shit.
Teacher. It's on Netflix.
That. Okay, I'll watch that. Okay.
If you're listening to this, don't turn off the podcast, but jot down in your brain My Octopus Teacher. It's on Netflix. Everybody has Netflix. And it is an amazing documentary about a man who befriends an octopus.
Zach, I love your constant fear that when you recommend something, people are going to be like, fuck yeah, and like turn off the podcast and immediately watch it.
Well, because I think I'm a really good, I think I'm very good at enrolling people. I can be like, listen, I can convince you have to watch this show. It's so amazing. I think I'm pretty decent at getting people riled up to try something, but I don't want to rile them too far where they're like, fuck this podcast. I'm going to watch The Octopus Teacher now. All right, we got to move on. Casey,
okay,
we love
bye,
you.
Guys.
Bye, Casey. Thank you for the advice. And her hair looks lovely. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good colorist. Good colorist.
Oh my gosh, she's so pretty.
Yeah, she's very pretty. Donald doesn't know how good he has it.
No.
Yeah, I do. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Well, that was kind of Fix Your Life. So, Dan, let's do a posthumous. Posthumous? How do you say that word?
Sure, posthumous, yeah. Sure.
A posthumous playing of the Fix Your Life music right here. Kate, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Kate. do you have a question for any of us? I know you have to go because you have date night, but do you have a question?
No, but actually our the other couple that's driving 45 minutes from Asheville just told me they're running late. So that gives me a little bit more time.
Oh, shucks.
All right,
I won't take up your time, but you can take up mine now.
Go ahead, Kate. What's your question?
Yes, I'm actually really glad that Shay's here because my first question is about cast and crew. Zach, it's for you mainly. I've always wondered how, when an actor is a star of a piece, kind of like Kevin Costner does all the time, and they also direct.
Yes.
So you've directed episodes of Scrubs and, you know, other projects that you've been the star of. Who directs you when you're in the scene? And I don't mean like, here's your mark, here's your sight line. I mean, like you finish a take with Donald and you know, I'm sure you're not like, Donald, you know, a little bit less. And, you know, Judy, you know, that was seemed a little whiny and mean. No notes, I'm perfect. You know, like, so who's behind camera?
It's a very good question. So I'll just use the Scrubs example. There'd be the writer of the episode. In this case, it's Mike Schwartz. And he would be sitting behind the monitor. Bill, of course, would come to the very first rehearsal of every scene. And he would watch it. He'd watch my blocking. He didn't care too much about where the camera was for the specific director, and especially when he trusted them. But he was basically blocking them. And most importantly, as the showrunner writer, are the jokes playing? And when the jokes weren't playing, he'd tweak them or rewrite them. And so he would see, and he'd go, so he could give me a note. And he'd be like, you know, when you do that line with Donald, you got to have more energy because of X, Y, and Z. And I go, got it. And then he'd go off to go write with the writers. The writer of that particular episode would stay on set at the monitors. So very often I would, when the camera's on me and I'm directing, I would then, obviously you can tell if the crew's laughing. If I'm in a scene with Donald and I'm making him laugh, I'm feeling good about it. On my weeks, we would have playback. We wouldn't always have playback because it's a time suck. But on when I'm directing, I would have the ability to go back and play back the take and go, okay, that was good, let's move on. So I do need to be able to play back the video. And then I would just check in with whatever writer it was. But, you know, one thing I got good at was kind of sensing when I did Garden State, Wish I Was Here, being on camera and directing myself, you kind of just start to get a sense of, like, I know when I'm good, I know when I suck. I know when that felt weird.
Do you just get to the point where you can be really honest with yourself and know when you're not in your rhythm, but you maybe need that writer or that AD or someone to be for you to be like, was that too big? And for them to be like, yeah, that was too big.
You definitely need a producer type who you trust, who's fun, who's a good writer, I think, and or a first AD, assistant director, or sometimes a cinematographer I've had a great relationship with who'll whisper in your ear something. That really helps, because I've had times where I did, like on Alex Inc., I remember doing like a really funny take and I'm directing and I think it's good, but I'm a little insecure about it. And I go to I'm excited, like sort of like walking back to the monitors and no one's there. And I'm like, this I don't like. This feels like tightrope walking without a net, because I don't know. I need fucking help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think I much prefer it when I have people I trust that I can, like, go, do you think that's good?
Yeah.
The great thing about, my favorite thing about acting, directing is that I can steer the scene from within. So if in my opinion, I want Donald to be angrier in this moment, I'm going to fucking come at him harder. I'm going to be more aggressive with my lines because I'm trying to steer him from within the scene to get more riled up.
Or like when you want funnier lines or something like that. The great thing about, you know, you would do it as an actor too, but Bill would have a certain set of jokes and then you would have like five more and you'd be like, just run them off. And it would be great because you would get performances out of us where it was like we trusted you enough because we thought you were funny enough. Also, your scope and your visual was what we trusted that enough also that we were like, yeah, man, whatever you want us to say, we're going to say that shit. So we'd get to the end of scenes or we'd get to punchlines and stuff like that. And Zach would throw new punchlines in and you trust it and go with it because of the fact, you know, that you've seen what he's done. And also he was just so confident in doing it. So Kate, when you say, you know, he's like, this is a note for you. This is the note for you. And none for me. Even if the director is acting and he does do that, the confidence that he's showing in the situation makes you more trustworthy. Now, it's not my place because I'm not directing to say to the director or to another actor, I think you should do it this way. I think you're doing it wrong. But because he directed so many episodes, we got used to it, man. I think the first episode, it felt a little weird. But then after that, it was like, dude, whatever you want, Zach. So
I think that's kind of an a testament, if I may, like to compliment like the kind of examples that you have been for positive male relationships and mature, you know, open men together. But also like there's a lot of egos. I don't imagine that that's always the case when suddenly your co-star and in your real life best friend are coming out and they're suddenly kind of in this status change, you know, and for you to just like take a note and not just swallow it, but like appreciate it and trust with, well, that's like a also, very mature.
And also I would say that he was rooting for me. I mean, he's my best friend and he was stoked for me. He was the opposite of an ego because he was like, this is so cool. You're directing, you know, that was the vibe. And Johnny C too, I should say. And I mean, the whole cast. I've been asked this before and I think I've answered it, but I'll say again, when I started directing the show, there wasn't a single bit. They were all rooting for me. They were all excited for me. Bill, of course, was a competitive motherfucker, but because he was a little like, okay, here's the hardest episode we've ever made, but which I won't fucking mention the zipline episode, you dick.
You already did.
No, I didn't mention it. Now on my fucking Twitter feed, no matter what I write, people are like, oh, is this the episode about the zipline? All right, fuck you guys. But no, everyone was rooting for me, and everyone was supportive, and I loved it. I loved it so much because... you know, Donald and I can make each other laugh so quickly and easily. So when he's doing his, if he's got a big joke and I'm cracking up and then we're in the zone together and I go, ooh, do another take and say this. And then he's willing to try it. You know, it's so much fun. It was amazing.
That's great.
It also feels like Scorsese and De Niro or Scorsese and Pacino. You know what I mean? It's like, not that we're on that level or
we are,
or
Donald.
Like
Shay will tell us that we are.
I agree.
Shay endorses that we are.
But it's like, you know, Scorsese puts his friends in the movie. He's not putting them in the movie to make them fall flat on their face. You know what I mean? And so when Zach is giving you direction and everything when we're shooting, he's not doing it because he wants to get through the day. He wants you to shine just like everyone else. He wants everything to be perfect. You know what I mean? And so where there are people that come into a situation like this and they're just like, let's just get the lines right and everybody and we can move on. I just want to tell my story and that's it. Whereas Zach wants to tell his story, but he's also open to you expressing yourself in the piece.
Yeah. Great question, Kate. Do you have another one since we like you so much?
Oh, you're so nice. Actually, I would like to tell you just why I actually reached out to Joelle, if I could.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's crazy. Because I don't believe out in signs unless they work out for me. But but there's not enough time in the day. I was doing one of my hiding from my family errands, listening to the latest episode. And the errand I happened to be doing was I was returning some scrubs to a store that my husband had ordered online that were comically large on him. Cause you know, we're all trying to order online and it sucks. We have no idea. Like, you know, and so I was listening to your podcast, returning scrubs. And when I walked into the Uniform City store that sells the scrubs, the song Everywhere by Michelle Branch.
Oh, our anthem.
Your anthem. And it was like
your
right
anthem.
At the,
that ain't my anthem.
Listen, we were gonna I thought I had her on the hook. We were Twitter DMing. I said, would you come on the show? She goes, sure. And I go, would you play Everywhere live on acoustic? And she's like, the dots came up and then they went away. And I was like, oh shit. It's like when you go out fishing and the fish gets off the hook.
She left you on read, dog.
And I haven't cast again. I feel like
she
I can throw out my.
She left you on read, yo.
Is it
she
left you on read or left you on red? Isn't it left you on red?
Same shit. Red, right. Read, spelled the same way, dog. It's spelled right. The same way.
Well, at least I can brag that Michelle Branch left me on red.
Yeah, that's true. Not a lot of people have that. And it was like right, like Zach, it was right at the like, you know, the key change, like the huge key change. And I was like, oh God, this is a sign. So I like asked Joelle if it was a sign. And
then it is a sign.
She got back to me. I was like, I guess so. Because I never do things like this. I'm like, Elliot, I never win a raffle. I never win in anything. No one picks me. Like, and so I can't believe I'm actually here.
You're going to win. Joelle, can we give her some free shit?
No, I don't need any.
Why are you so anti giving her free shit?
No, because she blamed me for the unlatching of her kid in the beginning of the episode.
I didn't. I purposely never let you.
I heard you say that shit. You said, and I don't breastfeed while listening. Areolas. Too motherfucking loud. You even said, because Donald's too motherfucking loud. I heard you. You said it to my wife.
Can I use my golden producer?
You got bold and you said it to my wife. You ain't getting shit, Zelensky. Zelensky, you get jack shit.
You're getting too loud now already.
I said good day.
You're getting too loud now. Areolas all over the world are puckering up.
Smash my mug on the floor. You're actually making me like, you're making my milk let. I'm going to start like squirt.
Oh my God.
Squirt because I'm so sweaty and upset now.
Oh my God. She's going to squirt. I don't know if we're allowed to say that, Cade's list.
Hold on. Wow. Speaking of areolas.
Jump the track. What?
You guys told people to wipe their balloon knots with your
Yes. Yes. Preferably Donald's, not mine.
By the way, can say whatever I want about my own breast milk.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Daniel. Good for you.
Kate's a good guest.
Kate, Janelle, did you see Cardi B's?
Did you see Cardi B's nipples? What?
You mean in the video?
No, Cardi B just had a nipple slip. Did you guys see this?
On Instagram. No. I heard about it, but I did not view it.
I did appreciate in the WAP video the fountains with the spraying.
Yeah, right?
And in fact, in our house, a big thing that we sing to our 10-month-old, or 10-week-old, excuse me.
Is the WAP like, song.
Honestly, Zach, I feel like a horrible human being, but instead of the hook the way it is in the song, we sing, there's some babies in this house. There's some babies in this house. And now my daughter has started, she'll be like doing Play-Doh and she'll be like, there's some mamas in this house. There's some mamas in this house. And I'm like, oh my God, is this okay?
That's amazing. Kate, do you partake of GT's kombucha?
Would you like some GT's kombucha?
I do. I love kombucha.
Okay, let's send her some GT's kombucha.
I love the plainest, most like, you know, like the ginger that, you know, I love GT. I love kombucha.
I've been drinking this one right here. Peach pineapple aqua kefir. You got this one, Donald? That's my jam.
I finished my martini.
Okay. Oh, congrats. Listen,
we will send you some GT's kombucha and we will send you some GT's aqua kefir.
Yes. For being such a wonderful guest. We got to go, though, I think, right?
No, you should go.
We got to go because we have Shea Serrano, who's not getting nearly enough attention on this fucking episode.
Oh, no, this is great for me. I got my stuff off. I sit in the background now.
Shea has been replaced by areola talk. I don't like it.
Oh, boy.
You've been a great guest, Kate. We're gonna send you a whole bunch of GT's kombucha and have a good date night. For God's sakes, have a good date night.
Thank you guys so much.
There's some babies in this house. There's some babies in this house. There's some babies in this house. Give it up for Kate Zielinski. There's some babies in this house. Kate Zielinski.
Okay, bye, Kate Zielinski. Here's a great guest.
I liked her a lot.
She was very articulate and smart and quick-witted. I liked her. Mm. Well, guys, let's talk more about the show Scrubs. That's why we have a fancy Shea Serrano guest here.
I'm so sorry. Can you go to break first and then come back.
Joelle, I don't like to go to breaks. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, audience members. We're going long today, so we'll be taking a break and we'll be right back.
Dorians love them a fart joke, man. I say this every time one of the Dorian family members is on the show, but your dad.
A lot of fart jokes, yeah. The family loves a fart joke. Yeah. I only like good fart jokes. I don't like these fart jokes. I didn't think these were impressive fart jokes in the show.
They were trying to harmonize their farts. What's not funny about that? What's not funny about that, dude?
They took the show on the road. They cut to the audience, and all the audience have their T-shirts up above their noses. It's so embarrassing. Scott Rabideau, who was my stand-in.
And Katia Ortiz,
who was Judy's stand-in, both have a line, finally, in this episode. Around 5:38, when Kelso comes in to tell everyone not to moonlight, they're the nurse and the doctor, I believe, who have a line saying what they do to moonlight at the hospital. So there you go. How funny was Sam Lloyd trying on the wig?
Yeah, you didn't see that.
Now let's talk about my Black by Popular Demand shirt loaned by Turk. I'm also in a do-rag. I don't know if I'd do that in 2020.
Thank you for letting me wear this, man. The sisters are loving it. What did you say? Charmaine even called me a cracker.
Yeah. No, I said it innocently. Like Charmaine even called me a cracker.
No, you said it with some attitude. You said the whole thing with some attitude. It's like, thanks for letting me borrow the. This is how I heard you say it. Thanks for letting me borrow the shirt, player. The sisters is loving it. Charmaine even called me a cracker.
No, I definitely didn't do that, for the record. I would also like to say that I would not wear a do-rag and a Black by Popular Demand t-shirt now. But for the story point, for those of you, it was Turk's shirt on loan to me. I wish you still had that shirt, Donald. You would rock that.
I would wear that shirt right now without hesitation.
And then you end the scene by saying, now check the ball, cracker.
Now check the ball, cracker.
Yeah.
That was the first monologue I ever had on the show like that. And I remember, I think her name was Sharon Liggins. Is it Sharon Liggins? She was our NBC PR, rep.
Yeah, PR NBC person maybe?
Yeah. And she was on the set that day. And she was like, you know, she gave me a little pep talk before it. Like, you know, I want to see you shine on this show. So, you know, we could cut this out because I don't know.
No, I don't want to cut it out. I like where it's going. Go.
She said something to the network, like we need to give Donald more stuff to say as an African-American. And
she was an African-American woman.
And she was an African-American woman. And she was like, and this is why you have this monologue. And I was like, holy shit. And I've never asked.
And you're like, I had to go memorize this shit.
Dude, you're absolutely right. I did say that shit. In my head, I was like, oh shit, I better memorize this shit. And I remember when we were doing it, I remember feeling like, oh, I didn't nail it. I didn't quite nail it. But then when I watched it back today, it's, you know, I'm not saying that I'm great in it, but I definitely... You definitely understand what the fuck I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
You're good. You're
and
really
that's,
good.
And that's a big deal for me. Like sometimes I watch my stuff. It's rare that I watch myself, but when I do, the one problem I have is, am I delivering the lines in a way that people can understand where I'm coming from and what I'm saying? And this was one of those moments where I felt like I was, and it just so happened to be one of those moments where an African-American woman in the NBC arena stepped up for me and was said, you know, I think Donald needs more monologues on this show.
That's cool.
Shout out to Sharon. She's Ava DuVernay's studio at Ray Now, which is
okay. Oh, really?
Dope.
Oh,
yeah. Nice.
Sharon Liggins. Shout out.
Sharon Liggins. I mean, making a difference. You can see behind the scenes making a difference. And that's a great story. I never knew, Donald. You just taught me a Donald Faison Scrubs anecdote even I didn't know.
Well, those are one of those things that you don't really talk. You don't brag about, you know, stuff like that. You just do it. And she
did
that.
It's a great story about her and her character and what she was trying to do at the network.
Well, she's fiery, man. She's like she always looked out from the gate.
Now the dog that's Ken's dog was Ken's real dog, Australian Shepherd. Its name was Pal. And it was the smartest dog. I mean, Ken had this dog so well trained. Australian Shepherds are known for being super intelligent, but this was like the best trained dog. I mean, Ken could be like, "Pal, go get the blue toy in the other room," and the dog would go and like choose from 10 toys the blue toy. I mean, it was amazing.
Not only that, he's calling the dog Baxter, and the dog is responding to Baxter. So yeah,
well, he probably the night before was like, "Hey man, tomorrow I'm going to call you Baxter," but I need to reply. Respond, and the dog's like, but this whole scene it made me sad because made me miss Sam Lloyd. But this whole scene where Sam the lawyer is competing with the dog Baxter is so funny.
It's really funny. That's the funniest part of this episode.
Yes, I agree. Baxter won't. So he goes. Someone says to him, "Ted, you don't have to do this competition with the dog." And he's like, Shut up.
I can win this.
and then later he comes running in. He goes, "Baxter won't get out of my chair."
Who knew Elliot was scared of domesticated animals, dude?
Cats.
Just any domestic animal. She walks in and there's a pig and she's like,
"Ehh." By the way, that's some bullshit. I don't think any doctors are moonlighting as vets.
It's not the same. It's not the same thing.
I don't think it's
a heart is a heart.
I don't think it's the same thing.
I don't think it's the same thing. How about how the janitor doesn't know where the emergency room is?
Yeah, that jumps out.
They really didn't give Neil a lot to do in this episode. He has one moment where Tom Cavanaugh hurts him, and then he asks where the emergency room is. How about Kelso revealing he's got a side hustle, side piece?
He got a little side piece. He's got a little side. I have a real question here because and I'm sorry if it's gone over my head and we've talked about it over and over again. And I get that Dan's a screw up and everything, but why is JD so hard on Dan? Like, he's so hard on this guy.
Dan's been horrible to JD. Dan has stolen girlfriends from him. I mean, he's going to go on to steal. Doesn't he date Elliot?
Mm-hmm. That happened already. It didn't happen yet.
No.
Okay.
Dan's a horrible brother. I mean, he's done some really horrible shit. I think JD's embarrassed because Dan's doesn't do anything. He lives at home and complains about his mom. And I mean, Shay, you might have more to say on this. I think he's embarrassed, and his brother is constantly screwing him over.
Yeah, that all feels exactly right. That's the same read I got on it. He was just when you're the younger sibling, if you feel like you have leapfrogged over the older one, part of you is excited about that, and also part of you is like kind of mad about it. Why do I have to be the one who's doing all of this? Why can't you do some shit too? Why does it always have to be me? And then you know, he hints at that the thing about him being mad from their childhood when Dan wasn't there for him. Like, that's just all sort of coming out all at once in this episode, it feels like.
Right.
But then it makes your point even better at the end. Was Dan really there for him this whole time, but only in behind the scenes? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great point. I like that you said that, Shay. And in the spirit of Cade Zielinski's question about when I'm how I judge my own acting, I'm going to say that I think that the actor, Zach, was good in that scene where I confronted Dan. I would have said, good job. I think that was good.
Oh, right on. I'll agree with that.
I think it was a good scene between the two of us. I don't always think that. Watching it 20 years later, sometimes I go, what the fuck are you doing?
And well, it's
so there's some moments where I go, that was a good scene between us. I liked it.
Well, it's a great scene because when he does it makes what he does for you so much more powerful. So absolutely. That message has to be there. You said something earlier that I thought was really amazing in that, you know, Bill would, when Kate was on, that Bill would come up and he would tell you why you have to have more energy on jokes and everything like that. And it's something that we talk about always, how, you know, these storylines connect through the shows and everything. It's really, you know, Bill is really good at setting up moments like that. Moments like Dan and Cox at the end. This whole show is built for that one moment at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's something to be said because that means that this wasn't written. And then he was like, and then at the end, it feels just me personally, and I could be wrong about this, and maybe this is an ass Bill situation, but it feels like this episode was originally, this is the episode where we learn Dan is a whole lot more than what we think he is. Now let's write that story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, because that moment at the end of this show is so important for everything that happens after this. You know,
that's
kind of
like what Shay was saying. Like, it makes us question for the first time how much Dan is doing some, you know, Oz behind the curtain work that could have gotten JD exactly where he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the thing that happens where every so often they will like poke a hole in Dr. Cox, because this episode starts with them, with JD doing the pickles thing, messing with the patient.
Mr. Bober.
Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Cox scares him. Oh, did I catch you mocking this patient? And JD's scared, and he's like, oh, I, you know, I've never been more proud of you. And they kind of share a moment there. And then by the end of the show, we realize like, okay, Dr. Cox has misread this situation here, because Dr. Cox is a prick for a lot of the time with a lot of the patients, but he's always doing it in a way that lets you know he cares a great, great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And JD still is his third year, or the third season anyway, he's not quite ready to operate at that level yet. He can't do that.
Right.
He can't do those two things at the same time.
He can't walk that line. Right.
He's trying it on a little bit.
He's trying it. And Dr. Cox is like, oh, cool, you can do it. And Dan is like, he's not ready yet. Right. And that's like,
yeah, a, and also, you know, like, you can be a cynical bastard, but this is a kid still, relatively, and he's wide eyed, and he's, mm-hmm. you know, don't make him you.
Don't
you,
rush him to it.
If he becomes you in 20 years, then so be it, but don't rush him to that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a similar thing, like a bigger stakes thing than, like, I have a, we have three sons. The youngest one is 7, and every once in a while, he'll say, like, a cuss word, and I think it's the funniest thing in the world. And Laramie is like, he can cuss when he's older. I get that you think it's funny, but it's like, don't rush him into that. He'll get there when he needs to get there. And then I always feel like a jerk afterward. And I'm like, yeah, you're right.
You're exactly right. You should hear Donald's kids. I can't believe it.
Dude, I think it's the funniest shit ever. Yes, my wife is.
Can you tell him what your daughter said? We can cut it out if you don't want to use it.
Yeah, no, we can use it. Because
she said it hurt, to Florence, I think.
No, when she gets hurt or if something hurts
no,
her
dude,
feeling.
I'm talking about when she came over my house and Florence said, how was the car ride or something? And do you remember this story?
No. What did she say?
I don't know. She said something
she's
like,
he's driving like a stupid ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's hardcore. That's hardcore.
And Florence was like, oh my God. She's like, how was the car ride over? My dad was driving crazy. Oh, well, what did you tell him you were upset? Yeah, I said he was a stupid ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
She used it the right way. She used it the right way.
She nailed
Jeez.
It. She nailed it.
Yo, here's one that's really funny. So I have an 19-year-old son, right? And so he said he's really into The Office right now and stuff. So he says dumb shit around a boy who's 7, like that's what she said.
Yeah.
And so my son doesn't know necessarily how that's what she said works.
We just throwing says it all the time.
So Casey was like, dang, man, somebody needs to wash these dishes. And Rocco will be like, that's what she said.
He's just trying it out.
Who, right? Whose water is this? That's what she said.
Oh yeah!
You little dumb, stupid ass motherfucker.
we're almost done. I think, right, guys? I wanted to play you one video real quick that's on the internet, and it's a very funny woman who's inspiring you all to vote and to make sure you stay in line. Did you see this on my stories, Donald? The woman.
I did not. I did the one that's sitting down in the chair and how she's getting ready for it.
I'm going to play it for you. It's a woman. It's a very funny woman, and she's getting ready to get in line to vote. And she's encouraging
people. She's been online. She's been waiting.
I don't know what her situation is, but halfway through the video, when she starts cutting to it, she cuts to her chair and her cooler. And I just want to play you this woman because I think she's an inspiration, and you should listen to what she says. All right. Okay. Hold on. Here she is. Yeah. Hold on.
Okay, guys, I'm going over here and get my judge. I got my grown folks' hair on. I got my savage clothes on. I'm ready for this damn heat. And I'm ready for these people. Because I'm going to vote. And ain't shit going to stop me. Not this sun, not this heat. And y'all need to go on and get y'all judge and get y'all vote on. Because let me show you. I'm ready. I'm going to get my damn judge. They could stand out there for 15 hours. I got my hair. They could stand out there for 24 hours. I got my snacks. I ain't going to play with these hoes. I'm going to vote. And I said, you go vote too.
So there you go. I don't know what judge means, but it means fucking go vote probably. No matter what you got to do. Right, guys?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, man.
Support. I wanted to, Shay, everyone, if you've been listening to Shay and you still haven't got his book, check it out. Shay, remind everybody how they get your self-published essays and on Scrubs that are amazing.
And Shay, you do a podcast too, don't you?
We're going to plug that too, Donald.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
First the book, Shay.
The website is halfwaybooks.com.
Halfwaybooks.com.
Yeah, man, I'm going to keep it honest with you, Zach. I don't like how you be getting all puffy chest with me. You be getting all loud and shit. Like you want to do something.
Do you want to wrestle? Do you want to come over and wrestle?
Are you saying what I think you're saying?
All I'm telling you is if I get movement, it doesn't count. Shay, you also have a podcast.
Will you smoke weed and wrestle with me?
No, that feels like really weird. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that would love to take you up on that.
Yes.
According to Shay, there's many Mexicans who would love that offer.
Yeah. If you want to smoke weed and wrestle with me, @Donald_Azon Instagram.
All right, Shay, and tell us about your podcast that you have going. How people find that?
It's called The Connect, and it's wherever you get podcasts. It's a movie podcast. Basically, all we do is we take one central theme, and then me and the co-host, Jason Concepcion, each pick a movie that touches on that theme. So it could be like, okay, this week's theme is find a movie where somebody's having relationship troubles. And we're like, okay, cool. Clueless and Garden State. Boom. Now we're going to talk about those two movies through this lens.
Right on. We talked about La La Land earlier. Is that one of the movies that did you guys ever do that one?
Well, we haven't done that one yet, but that's really, really good.
Donald only wants to tune in, Shay, when you do La La Land. Listen, nobody, Shay, as you know from listening, you guys, yes. Shay can talk about movies and TV in such an amazing, interesting, articulate way. So check out his podcast, although don't listen to it before you listen to ours. Another thing I want to mention that I think is cool, if you're a creative person, Adobe Max is a big creativity conference. It's happening the 20th to the 22nd. I only know about this because I'm one of the speakers. And I'm telling you because it's free. Normally, this is a paid thing. But this year, because of life being what it is, the good folks at Adobe have made it free. So it's all sorts of presentations and speeches and cool things you'd get at a creativity conference, but free. So go to adobemax.com to find that. And also you can watch my video because I give out some little pearls of wisdom, I think.
You teaching about film, Zach? What are we learning?
I'm auditioning to be a film professor. No, I speak about the creative process a bit, and I don't know. I hopefully inspire a bit.
That sounds awesome.
Nice. I videotaped it already. It's done. Lastly, I just want to talk about merch. We, you know, Donald and I got made fun of for having shitty merch, so we went all out. Now we've got all sorts of shit. There's hoodies, there's t-shirts in different colors. There's a washcloth that was meant for you to take in the shower, but I posted on Instagram a young woman used it as her dish towel. It's hanging over the handle of her stove. Mm. So you can also use it as your dish towel. We got a lot of good shit coming. Should I tell them we got coming, Donald?
Let's get into it. We got for the holiday season, we've got wrapping paper coming your way. Oh,
that's smart. That's a smart one.
We got ornaments.
We got ornaments coming.
We got pop sockets.
Boom.
We got pop sockets coming your way.
And my favorite item that I don't think we ordered enough of.
We definitely did.
But we'll find out. We have Zach and Donald onesies.
I'm so excited. For
adults. We've got onesies headed your way.
Those are flying out of here.
Yeah. We had to decide how many to order, and Donald and I were like, I don't know how many we should order. I mean, like, I don't know how many people buy this. And then I don't think we ordered enough because I think they'll be popular because everyone in my family wants them. But anyway, that's our merch. So don't think we don't have good merch now, and don't make fun of us for having shitty merch because we got into it. Oh, and you find the merch, by going to cottonbureau.com and searching for fake doctors, real friends. I thought we could end the show with Josh Radin because we've never done that, Donald. All this time, we've never played a Josh Radin song.
I thought we were waiting until Josh Radin was going to be on the show to play a song.
That's silly. We're going to ask Josh Radin to play a song live when he's on. Maybe if we were good podcast producers, we would have We would have him play Winter on my screw up at the end of my screw up. That's what we should do, right?
So which song should we have Josh Radin play today?
Well, you and I, I think you and I have the same favorite Josh Radin song.
I have a couple of favorite Josh Radin songs.
But I think you and I have the same most favorite.
Which one is that?
Paperweight.
Fuck yeah, dude. You know me well.
Yes. All right. Listen, next week, Tara Reid on the show, guys. Woo! Tara Reid.
Sharknado.
We're going to get some good stories from Tara Reid.
Plays a scientist in Sharknado. Tara Reid will be on the show next.
Yes. And Tara Reid's got a lot of, always when we were shooting, had a lot of funny anecdotes. So she'll bring them. And she said yes. So we'll have Tara Reid. And thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Shay, for being such a good guest.
Shay, you the best.
As always.
Best, Shay.
Okay. Sorry for the unlatch. Joelle.
Another
unlatch. Joelle, we love you. Daniel, we love you. Here is Josh Radin with Donald and my favorite song, Paperweight.
Been up all night
staring at you, wondering what's on your mind. I've been this way with so many before, but this feels like the first time. You want the sunrise to go back to bed, and I want to make you laugh. Mess up my bed with me, kick off the covers, I'm waiting. And every word you say, I think I should write down. I don't want to forget, come deny. Song, your newest one, please leave your taste on my tongue. Paperweight on my back, cover me like a blanket. Mess up my bed with me, kick off the covers, I'm waiting. Should write down. I don't want to forget, come daylight. And no need to worry, that's wasting time. And no need to wonder what's been on my mind. It's you. Again, wonder what you're dreaming.